Matthew chapter 24, I'll begin reading tonight, verse number 32. Matthew chapter 24, I began reading in verse number 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the meal, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doeth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Lord, help me this evening. I want to preach on this thought. The King is coming. The King is coming. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the privilege to be here tonight. Thank you for Pastor Shoemaker and this precious congregation and, Lord, their hospitality. Lord, thank you for the good singing tonight by testimonial. Lord, good to be among friends. Yes. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help me. You know the burden that you placed upon my heart tonight. But Lord, you know the battle that we fought all day to get here. Yes. I pray, Lord, that you'd make it worth our while to be in the house of God tonight. And I pray for a fresh unction to function in. I pray for fresh anointing from on high. Lord, please deal with sinners and saints alike. And I pray, Lord, you'd navigate me through this message. Help me to be a blessing to these your people. May we find encouragement tonight from your word. And I pray, Lord, that we'll leave the house of God with a greater awareness that we're closer now than we've ever been before. Help us tonight as only you can. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Now, there is much speculation that surrounds eschatology and the study of the end times. And I didn't come tonight to argue with you what you do and do not believe, but I did come to tell you that Jesus is coming soon. And the main thing is for you and I to be ready. According to verse 36, that no man knows the day nor the hour when the Lord Jesus Christ will return, only God the Father Himself. And so anybody that sets a date and says that Jesus will return at thus and such time and thus and such year, we can automatically deem that individual a false prophet because they're preaching heresy and doctrine that is not found in the Word of God. But even though we do not know the day nor the hour specifically when Christ will return, according to verse 32 and 33, the Bible teaches us that we can tell by the signs and the seasons a general time frame when we are getting closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ by studying what the Bible has to say about these signs. You and I can be aware and be educated and have somewhat of a general idea of a time frame when we are getting closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in studying your Bible, these signs are found in both the Old and the New Testament. The prophet Isaiah spoke of these signs. Ezekiel spoke of these signs. Jeremiah spoke of these signs. Of course, the prophet Daniel spoke of these signs. All the minor prophets from Hosea to Malachi spoke of signs that point to the coming of the Lord Jesus. In the New Testament, Jesus lists for us a list of these signs in Matthew chapter 24, Luke chapter 21, as well as Mark chapter number 13. The Apostle Paul dealt with these signs in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, as well as in 2nd Timothy chapter number 3. The Apostle John deals with these signs in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, deals with the spirit of the Antichrist that is now permeating the world that you and I live in this evening. The general epistle of Jude describes a day of apathy, a day of apostasy just before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I personally believe tonight that we are living smack dab in the middle of the book of Jude, just before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And time will not permit me tonight to deal with all of these signs found in Scripture that point to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in order to simplify it, I'll say this, that there are five major prophecies found in your King James Bible that have to be fulfilled in order for the Lord Jesus Christ to return. This first major prophecy is the restoration of the nation of Israel. The second major prophecy is the rise of the northern kingdom of Russia and her allies. The third major prophecy is the formation of the United Nations, which is the rebirth of the Roman Empire. The fourth major prophecy is the preaching of the gospel around the world. The fifth major prophecy is the increase of knowledge and travel for humanity around the globe. These five major prophecies have to be fulfilled in order for Jesus to return. Well, in the past 70 years, the world has witnessed every one of these major prophecies fulfilled right before their very eyes. Are you aware this evening, ladies and gentlemen, that there's nothing else that has to be fulfilled in order for the Lord Jesus Christ to return? His return is imminent, which simply means it could happen at any moment. If we really lived like we believed that, if we really believed the Bible and the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ, it would change everything about our life. It would change how we go to church. Amen. It would change how we treat our fellow man. It would change everything about us if we live with a continual awareness that Jesus could come at any moment. Now, all five of these major prophecies, they're all very important because they're found in the Word of God. But the greatest out of these five major prophecies is the restoration of the nation of Israel, the revival of the Jewish state. Are you aware of the fact tonight, ladies and gentlemen, that God still has a plan for the nation of Israel? Of course, I'm aware that there's those that preach in this day and hour what they call a replacement theology. And they say that God is done with the nation of Israel. Friend, they're a bunch of heretics. Can I get an amen right there? That God still loves the nation of Israel and the Jew is still the apple of God's eye. God is not done with them. He very much has a plan and a purpose for His people. And the covenant that God made with Abraham still stands today, that He'll bless those that bless them and curse those that curse them. In looking at Bible prophecy, God does not tell time by using a watch, but God tells a prophetic time by using the nation of Israel. If you want to know where we are tonight concerning Bible prophecy, you should be well aware of the events that take place in the Middle East that surround the nation of Israel. Now you begin to think about Bible prophecy concerning the nation of Israel. And it's amazing how God has used that little old nation to bring us to where we are today, that points us to one theme, and that is the King is coming. Jesus told His disciples and His followers before He was crucified that the temple there in Jerusalem would be destroyed, and all of His people, the Jewish people, would be scattered throughout all the nations of the world. Of course, this prophecy was fulfilled in the year 70 AD when the Roman government marched into Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, took God's people captive, and over the years and over the centuries, God's people were dispersed and scattered through all the nations of the world, just like Jesus said that they would. And for over 2,000 years, there was no nation of Israel. For over 2,000 years, there was no Jewish state at all. And it seems as if the wheels of Bible prophecy were at a standstill and at a halt. But all of that changed on May the 14th of the year 1948. For that is the day that Israel became a nation once again. That is the day that the Jewish state was revived. And that is the day, ladies and gentlemen, that the wheels of Bible prophecy began to turn to let us up to where we are tonight. On May the 14th, 1948, that is the day that God cranked up the car concerning Bible prophecy that has led us to where we are tonight. Not only the restoration of the nation of Israel was a major prophetic event that took place in the year 1948, but you'll find there were many events that took place in that year that carried a great deal of prophetic weight. You'll find that the World Bank started in the year 1948. Of course, that is the forerunner for what will eventually be the one world banking system, the one world coins, the one world economy, the one world currency that the Antichrist will implement. And the foundation was laid in 1948. The Big Bang Theory, that humanistic evolutionist theory, began to be taught in our colleges and universities in the year 1948. The invention of the microprocessor, which was the start of computers, began in 1948. Magnetic tape to record data was invented in 1948. At the close of the Second World War in 1945, there were less than 5,000 televisions in the United States, and most of them were in the Pentagon or had something to do with the military. But at the close of 1948, there was over 1 million television sets in the homes of Americans. Of course, in 1948 was the year that the first television satellite was launched into space. And by doing so, New York City logged on, Philadelphia logged on, Los Angeles, California logged on, Miami, Florida logged on, and Atlanta, Georgia logged on. And for the first time, not only in our nation's history, but for the first time in world history, you had the technology bringing a nation together through media and entertainment. All of that is the forerunner for what we have now called the World Wide Web, where the world is connected through the internet. And all that was the foundation that leads us to where we are tonight. Not only do these technological advances and these things were set in motion in 1948, but the nations of the world, they doubled in 1948. Pakistan came out of India. Red China
China and nationalist China was born. North and South Korea was born. The nations of the world doubled, therefore setting up to fulfill the prophecy Jesus spoke in Matthew 24, that nation would rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And all that was set in motion in 1948. And over the past 70 years, we have seen prophecy after prophecy fulfilled right before our very eyes. A lot of the things that you see televised on the evening news is nothing more than prophecies found in your Bible being fulfilled right before our very eyes. Of course, everything was set in motion in the year 1948. But there was another prophetic climax concerning Bible prophecy that took place on September the 11th of 2001. If 1948 was the year that God cranked the car concerning Bible prophecy, September the 11th, 2001 is the year that God mashed the accelerator to the floor, launching us and thrusting us into the middle of Bible prophecy. It's by no coincidence that the radical Islamic terrorists attacked America on the day 9/11. For 11 in biblical numerology is the number of chaos and confusion. In studying the events that transpired that day, it's amazing to me how profound and prevalent the number 11 is found over and over and over again. The Twin Towers standing side by side represent the number 11. The plot was birthed to attack America in Afghanistan. Afghanistan has 11 letters. The pilots were born in Saudi Arabia, which has 11 letters. The towers were located in New York City, which New York City has 11 letters. This attack took place in New York State. New York State was the 11th state to join the Union. 65 people on board those flights. 6 plus 5 equals 11. Many people called 911. 9 plus 1 plus 1 equals 11. And that's by no coincidence at all, but by divine order of God. Because since that day, the entire world has been thrust into a state of chaos and confusion, and it is transpiring out of control. All that is setting up for the Antichrist to step on the scene after the rapture of the church and profess a false peace that the world will accept. And I'm telling you, all that set in motion one common theme, and that is, hey y'all, the King is coming. Since 2001, we have seen the rise of ISIS, probably one of the most vicious, radical terrorist organizations the world has ever seen. We have seen an increase of nations in the world becoming anti-Semitic or anti-Jew. You can study it for yourself. The last three transactions that the last administration, the Obama administration, did before President Obama left office, they were nothing more than a slap in the face to the Jewish people. The last three decisions he made was nothing more than a slap in the face to the nation of Israel. We are beginning to see the alliance of Russia and Syria and Iran in the Middle East, and they're becoming daily more hostile toward the nation of Israel. As I speak to you this evening, that Russia and Syria and Iran, they have troops posted on the borders of the nation of Israel. And with one command, they are ready to charge in and combat the nation of Israel. And all that is nothing more than your Bible being fulfilled right before your very eyes. Now, thank the Lord for our current administration and that seemingly is more friendly toward the nation of Israel. Do you realize that moving the United States Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem is nothing more than prophecy being fulfilled? The close of the Iran deal is going to do nothing but brood more tension in the Middle East that will eventually explode, and that's nothing more than prophecy being fulfilled right before your very eyes. But not only the current events of the world, but you think about the technological advances of this generation. Those of you that are 50 and older, would you ever imagine you would ever see the technological advances in your lifetime that you have experienced? I was reading not long ago, and they said that the world has made more technological advances in the past 5 years than we have the past 50 years combined. Raise your hand if you've got an iPhone. It's all right. I'm not going to come to embarrass you. Thank you for your honesty. If you have an iPhone, are you aware that your iPhone has more computing power than all the computers that NASA had combined when we put a man on the moon? That's pretty amazing to me for old country boy. That's pretty amazing that that phone can have more computing power than all the computers of NASA combined just about 50 so years ago. You think about chip technology. You've heard about it. We've read about it in the Word of God. But friend, that technology is amongst us tonight. It originated in Europe and it has made its way to the United States. And if my memory serves me correctly, there's almost or over 1 million people in the United States of America that has been quote unquote chipped. They insert that chip between the thumb and the index finger, and everything that individual needs is found on that chip. All of their financial records is on there, so when they go to Wally World, they just scan their hand just like you do your debit card. All of their medical information's on there. They crank their car with that chip. They unlock the door to the house with that chip. They have access into their place of employment through that chip. Their whole world revolves around that chip. I was watching an interview on that technology not long ago, and they were interviewing certain people that had been chipped, and man, they think it's the greatest thing since Jif peanut butter. I mean, there's no caution, there's no worry, there's no fretting, nothing. It's the newest, it's the latest and greatest technology. They have absolutely no clue that they just signed their freedom away, they've signed their privacy away, that the government can control everything about them once they in. They have absolutely no idea to it. And you mark her down, friend, that technology is already here amongst us. And those of you 40 and 50 and 60 and more mature, hey, you're not going to do that. Can I get amen? You've got sense enough not to do that. But my generation don't. They're so gullible. I mean, y'all's grandkids, you know it's a truth, and you might as well say, man, they get a brand new smartphone, and 6 months later, when the newest, latest, and greatest smartphone comes out, they run right down to Verizon Wireless and pay $1,500 and get the newest, latest, and greatest thing because it does something a little bit better than what their old phone. And they've got a perfectly good phone. And they're so gullible concerning technology, they'll sign their life away and won't think anything about it because that's the generation that the spirit of the Antichrist is raising, willfully giving over their freedom in hopes of some kind of security. I'm telling you, all that will transpire and all that technology is going to grab a hold after the rapture of the church with the Antichrist stepping on the scene. But friend, that technology is amongst us tonight. And so that points to one common theme, and that is, hey y'all, the King is coming. You say, how do we know? Notice verse 33. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Notice those three words, all these things. Jesus said, you can know that you're closer to my coming than ever before when you see all these things coming to pass simultaneously at the same time. Now, Brother Fouts, there's been times in our nation's history, when the world history for that matter, where we have seen some of these things, but never have we seen all of these things. In the 40s, things were set in motion. Y'all agree with that? And in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and the 90s and the early 2000s, there were some of these things. But never before have we seen all of these things transpiring simultaneously all at the same time. Oh, I'm telling you, Jesus gives us two time frames that he parallels the last days to. That's the days of Noah, and that's the days of Lot. And he said, when you see the days of Noah and you see the days of Lot beginning to merge together, that's when you know that my coming is soon. Are we not witnessing that tonight? Are we not witnessing the wickedness of Noah's day? Are we not witnessing people turning a deaf ear to the truth as they did in Noah's day? Are we not witnessing the violence of Noah's day? Are we not witnessing the idol worship of Noah's day? Are we not witnessing the sensuality and the sexual perversion and the homosexuality and the filthiness and ungodliness of Lot's day? And those days are amongst us tonight. And we're no longer looking to the last days. But friend, we're living smack dab in the middle of these last days. And I didn't come tonight to depress you. I didn't give you all these facts to depress you. I came to encourage the people of God that we're closer tonight than we've ever been before. Hallelujah, friend. Soon and very soon, the eastern sky will part and the trump of God will sound. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. No more burdens and no more problems and no more sorrow and no more pain and no more sickness and no more worries and no more battles. We'll never fight with the flesh again. We'll never fight with the devil again. I say, even so, come Lord Jesus. Jesus said in the book of Luke, he said, when you see all these things come to pass, he said, look up, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. Hey, child of God, I know you grow weary in your well-doing. I know you get burdened. I know you fight battles, but thank God, just a few more miles, just a few more trials, just a few more valleys. Just stay with it, man of God. Just stay with it, child of God, because the King is coming. Amen. Now, knowing that the King is coming, I'll make my appeal to you and I'm done. Knowing that the King is coming, first thing we need to do is be right with God. I sure would hate to miss the rapture. You've heard enough gospel tonight to get saved. And I'd say by looking at y'all, y'all been in church more than one time in your life. The main thing is to know that you know that you know that you've been saved.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Now, if you're here tonight and you reject the gospel and you harden your heart toward the gospel and the Lord Jesus Christ and reject God's plan of salvation and the rapture takes place tonight before we get home, you just sit back, take you a deep breath, because you're going to hell. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck, but it's just the truth. You reject the grace of God, reject the love of God. God sends a warning. You might as well just sit back, get you a big old cigar and smoke it. Just have yourself a big old time, because you're as good as in hell. But you don't have to, because there's a God in heaven who loves you enough to send a country preacher your way to give you one more warning to let you know, hallelujah, the day of grace has not ended. And if you'll come to Him and repent of your sin, He'll save your soul. Those of us that are saved, we still need to be right with God. There's a lot of prodigals sitting in our Baptist churches. We need to make sure that our heart is right with God, and there's nothing, no sin between us and the Lord. Amen. Secondly, we need, knowing that the King is coming, we need to be right with our fellow man. Yes. And that starts at home. It starts at home.
Yes, sir.
I'm beginning to understand more about this. I heard people talk about it growing up, about husbands and wives fighting on their way to church. And I ain't got all there yet, but I can understand a little bit more tonight how you can get sideways with a person that God put in your life. And I believe a lot of that's just the devil trying to take your mind off the things of God. And I'll be honest with you, there's a lot of spouses are bitter at each other. Amen. Might as well say amen. There's a lot of children that have strife with their parents, and there's a lot of parents that have strife with their children. And I'm telling you, if we're aware that Jesus is coming, we need to be right with God, and we need to be right at home, because if the home ain't right, the church ain't going to be right. Boy, that's a revival message right there, ain't it? We need to be right with our family. We need to be right with our friends. We need to be right with those at church and right with the preacher. Hey, if you're bitter at somebody tonight, or you're grinding an axe against somebody tonight, you need to get it right with God and get it right with them, because the King is coming. Once we have this relationship right, once we have all these relationships right, thirdly, we need to be right with God, need to be right with our fellow man, and we should have a desire to not leave anybody behind. We should have a desire not to leave anybody behind. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you know tonight, if the trumpet was to sound right now, you know you've got family members that'd go to hell. How many of us tonight, don't raise your hand, but if Jesus was to come in the next 10 minutes, you know you've got classmates, you've got coworkers, you've got friends that you know would miss the rapture. That's true revival. When we get clean within ourselves and live with an awareness that Jesus is coming soon, it'll change our life.
Yes, it will.
Because we will labor
Amen.
With great intensity.
Amen. That's good.
I've laid it out for you tonight. There's a whole lot more you could say, a whole lot more prophetic events and all that stuff. I don't want to bore you with a bunch of facts, but you see for yourself, we're closer tonight than we've ever been before. It's time to quit playing games.
That's right.
It's time to get serious.
Amen.
Because the King is coming. Amen. I say this in closing, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 37, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come,
right,
and will not tarry.
Right.
The King is coming.
Yes, he is.
The main thing is to be ready.
Amen.
Preacher, it don't matter right now. It may not matter right now to you, but it'll matter when the King comes.
Come on,
preacher, it's all right. It'll work itself out in my family. It might not matter right now, sir, but it'll matter when the King comes.
That's right. Amen.
Preacher, I've got a lot of dreams. I've got a lot of goals. I want to do this. I want to live it up. I'm going to do my own thing, preacher. Teenager, it might seem all right now, but it's really going to matter when the King comes.
Right. Amen.
Preacher, I'll get it later. I've read the Left Behind series. I'll get it after the rapture. It might seem all right now, but it's really going to matter when the King comes.
Right. Amen.
God help us to live with an awareness
Yes, sir.
That the King is coming. Let's stand to our feet. Thank you for your attention.